This is called.
This is Israel. Israel Radio, Kol Yisrael, broadcasting from Jerusalem to North America at 0, 1, and 2 hours UTC on 11605, 9435, and 7465 kilohertz.
This is a radio, Kol Israel, Jerusalem, Yisrael Dar, reporting. Following a missile attack on Israel, residents of Israel are instructed to follow civil defense procedures. They are to put on their gas masks. Residents of Israel should put on their gas masks. They should go to the prepared closed room, close the room, seal the door, and put the wet cloth on the floor at the base of the door. They should turn on their radios and listen for further civil defense instructions. They should not remove their gas masks. They should not leave the room until further instructions. Residents of Israel should not, I repeat, not go to normal bomb shelters, but remain in the specially prepared sealed rooms. I repeat, Israel is now experiencing an air raid alert following a missile attack. Israeli residents are instructed to follow civil defense procedures. They are to don gas masks, go into the prepared closed rooms, seal the door, and listen to the radio for further instructions. Do not, I repeat, do not go to normal bomb shelters. And now we return to our regular news bulletin for our overseas listeners. U.S. and Allied attacks in the Gulf continue, and the war goes on, and it may be a long one. That was the message from General Colin Powell, chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, assessing the first day of fighting.
The Iraqi Air Force is still out there, and we're going to work on them in the airfields. Dampen down some of the euphoria. We have just begun a campaign. It'll run for some time.
Strategically, what are your concerns right now?
Don't know that I have any particular strategic concerns. My principal concern is to accomplish the mission. And we have to remember the mission isn't to bomb a while and pause and see if something happens. The mission is to eject. The mission is to eject the Iraqi army out of Kuwait and to assist in the restoration of the legitimate government of Kuwait. And our entire campaign plan is focused on those two objectives.
We're going to report to collateral damage, appropriate backyard, and within the attempt to go after the anti-aircraft units that are within the Iraqi ground forces in southern Iraq or Kuwait.
Certainly we are interested in the anti-aircraft units within the Iraqi ground forces in due course. We want to get the air defense system taken care of to give us absolute final movement through the air. We have been very sensitive to collateral damage in the Baghdad area, and I think the best source of how careful we have been is listening to the CNN reporters who are watching it unfold. We were very concerned about collateral damage, making sure that no innocent civilians were killed or injured, and we were very sensitive to cultural and religious sites within the area.
You all were not, in fact, tracking Saddam Hussein or where he was. If one of the primary goals was to knock out Iraq's military leadership, why weren't you tracking him?
We were not targeting him, per se. We were not, because, frankly, I have learned from previous experience how difficult it can be to track him.
General Colin Powell, chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff. U.S. and allied aircraft in the 25 hours since the Gulf War began have been hitting Iraq's command centers, airfields, and missile bases. Anti-aircraft batteries and lone Iraqi fighters battled hundreds of American, British, Saudi, Kuwaiti, and French fighter bombers, which bombed Baghdad and strategic targets in Iraq and occupied Kuwait. In Washington, the White House called on Iraqi President Saddam Hussein to lay down his arms and comply with demands for his forces to leave Kuwait. This evening, the U.S. State Department ruled out a pause for peace in the war and said it would not stop until Iraqi forces completely withdrew from Kuwait. U.S. President George Bush said he was pleased with the first results of the offensive, but warned that the war could be long and bloody. Foreign Minister David Levy has denied the report in the Baghdad media that Israeli planes were in the first wave of aircraft that attacked Iraq this morning. In a statement issued through the Foreign Ministry spokesman, Levy dismissed the report as a lying Iraqi conspiracy aimed at undermining the solidarity of the coalition opposing Iraqi aggression. Foreign Minister Levy was quoted as saying, "This tyrant, who has been responsible for the deaths of millions of Muslims and expansionist wars he has forced on the Gulf in the past decade, now says he is ready to sacrifice 2 million Iraqi lives on the altar of his megalomania." We repeat our lead story. Following a missile attack on Israel, residents of Israel are instructed to follow civil defense procedures. You are to don gas masks. Put on your gas mask, go into your closed rooms, the prepared rooms, seal the doors, listen to the radio for further instructions. Do not remove your masks. Do not go into conventional bomb shelters. Instead, go to the specially prepared rooms for chemical warfare. Kuwait's ambassador to the United States says Iraqi guns downed one Kuwaiti Skyhawk aircraft near the Saudi border with Kuwait. At a news conference at the Kuwaiti embassy, Ambassador Saud Nasser al-Sabah said the Kuwaiti pilot ejected once the plane was hit. The U.S. previously reported that one American Navy F-15 aircraft was lost and two crew members of a British Tornado jet were missing after their engine caught fire. Iraq has said it shot down 55 planes, which took part in the U.S.-led air attack against Iraqi targets. The Iraqi ambassador to Belgium says Iraq still plans to attack Israel and will use chemical weapons. And I repeat our previous story that a missile attack on Israel has occurred. Residents of Israel are instructed to follow civil defense procedures. Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir earlier today sent a message to President Bush congratulating him and the U.S. forces and voicing the deepest appreciation for the results of Operation Desert Storm so far. Defense Minister Ahrens and Foreign Minister Levy were also in touch with the U.S. administration. Jack Katzenel reports.
The Prime Minister praised President Bush for being consistent in his policy since the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait in August, for showing leadership, marshaling an impressive coalition, and enlisting the support of Congress and the American people. "We support your policy all the way," Shamir said. Earlier today, Deputy Foreign Minister Benjamin Netanyahu expressed his appreciation for the American military action.
The initial reports are very promising. Obviously, we're encouraged by it, but we don't have yet full and complete confirmation of the results. We'll have to wait and see.
What is your wish, if I can put it that way, to the American and allied pilots and other crews?
We've said that Israel is not involved in this conflict, but we obviously follow the unfolding events very closely. We wish the American and allied forces Godspeed and complete success in achieving their mission. We hope that they'll come home and come home safely and quickly.
Is the threat to Israel from Iraqi missiles over?
It's reduced. I cannot say that it's over until it's over.
What is your feeling now, sir? Is it what a relief?
Somewhat, but I think it's too early to say that this is over. I think that if we are maintain the necessary state of alert, maintain our vigil and our patience, I'm sure that Israel will emerge safe from all of this.
Foreign Minister David Levy today received the U.S. Ambassador William Brown and was briefed on the progress of the U.S. and allied air attacks. Defense Minister Moshe Aaron was also on the telephone to his American counterpart, Dick Cheney. Officials in Jerusalem repeatedly voiced satisfaction with the level of coordination between Israel and the United States, especially in the past 24 hours. Jack Cantinel, Jerusalem.
I repeat the earlier announcement. Following a missile attack on Israel, residents of Israel are instructed to follow civil defense procedures. They are to put on their gas masks, go into the specially prepared rooms, close and seal the doors, and listen to the radio for further instructions. Do not remove your gas mask. Do not leave the prepared room. Do not go into regular bomb shelters. Earlier today, the Iraqi ambassador to Belgium said Iraq planned to attack Israel and would use chemical weapons. Belgium radio quoted Ambassador Ziad Haidar as saying the attack had not yet been carried out for strategic reasons. They said the decision to attack Israel had been taken, but the time would remain a secret. The ambassador also said Iraq would use the would attack the multinational force with chemical weapons if it tries to enter Kuwait or Iraq. Defense Minister Moshe Aaron said Israel's support for American policy will continue. Reporter Alan Benamy asked him for his assessment of the situation in the Gulf.
We've been getting reports about the aerial activity of the American Air Force and its allies over Iraq during the night. I think it was obvious to all that Saddam Hussein's refusal to accept the objectives as they were determined by President Bush would eventually lead to the use of force by the Americans. The position of the of Israel throughout these months has been a support for American policy. That continues to be our position. We have been taking all the necessary steps of preparedness and alertness here in Israel. Our population has cooperated in these steps, and I think very well and very effectively and very calmly. From what we've heard, the U.S. aerial action was massive. Seems to have been effective, although it is too early to say at this time that the danger to Israel has passed. And this is why our population must continue to listen to the radio, to follow instructions.
From Mr. Defense Moshe Aaron. Earlier this evening, before the missile attack, Israel's Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee was briefed on the what was then the latest situation. As we hear from reporter Zaya Zinder, it was warned that dangers may still lie in store.
Members of the Knesset Security and Foreign Affairs Committee convened at the Defense Ministry in Tel Aviv for the first time since hostilities commenced in the Gulf. They were briefed by the Army's Chief Intelligence and Operations Officers and were told by Defense Minister Arendt the Iraqi missiles were not totally destroyed. There is still some danger of an attack on Israel. Knesset member Shimon Peres, chairman of the Labour Party, called the performance of the Allied forces in the Gulf thus far brilliant, but he too urged caution.
It was a great night. And it will certainly have an effect upon the duration of the confrontation. But whether it will be weeks or months, it's hard to say tonight.
Likud Deputy Minister Pinchas Goldstein will say only this.
We trust the Americans.
Among the Knesset members cautioning Israelis to continue taking precautionary measures tonight was Citizens' Rights Movement Knesset member Yossi Sarid.
The euphoria is not is very much exaggerated. I believe that we have still a long way to go until Saddam Hussein will be defeated.
And the chairman of the committee, Likud Knesset member Eliyahu Ben Elisar, stressed the civil defense instructions to the public remain in force tonight to stay at home and have gas masks readily available. Leah Zinder, Tel Aviv.
So I can tell people to relax. If you can hear me, this is Alan Benamy. I'm speaking to you from one of the broadcast studios in Tel Aviv.
Yes, Alan.
Quite a crowded studio at the moment. just after 2 o'clock, we all heard the sirens going off. Everyone made their way to various sealed rooms, which have been prepared at the studios. Many people into this particular broadcast studio, and of course put on their gas masks immediately, except for the few of us who've been broadcasting. The situation at the beginning, I think, was tense. I asked some of my colleagues how they felt as we talked through the masks, and they said they felt strange. They felt a bit annoyed, actually, because they hadn't really expected to ever have to do this. However, we're all now gathered in here. We're beginning to get used to the situation. Broadcasts are going out. If you're hearing them in Hebrew and also in English with instructions and with some general remarks of what to do if you're having problems. And of course, CNN, the famous CNN, which I think everyone, including we here in the broadcasting studios, have been watching very closely for the last couple of days. It's still broadcasting. We have a TV set here. Not too long ago, we saw a live broadcast from CNN studios in Jerusalem. There too, they're putting on their gas masks, interviewing each other, and putting out the news. Much about the situation at the moment. Keep listening to your radios, and we'll keep trying to update you as much as we can, and let you know if there's any change in the situation. If in fact you can come out of your rooms and take those out of the glasses. For the moment, though, keep them on and listen to us. Back to you in Jerusalem.
It's the radio's military affairs correspondent, Alan Ben-Ami, in Tel Aviv. After this afternoon's briefing of the Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee, our reporter asked Labor leader Shimon Peres what the changes in the Middle East would be after the Gulf crisis is resolved.
I was listening very carefully to what the President Bush has said. He says we are going to face a new order in the world, and we may decide the future for the coming 100 years. Now, I wouldn't go for 100 years, but it will surely be a different Middle East, as there is already a different world. A world which is impatient with dictators, with belligerency, with non-conventional arms being used against civilian people, and where really the economic problems are the real ones.
And how will Israel fit into this picture?
Israel has to invest more thinking in how to solve the Arab-Israeli conflict peacefully. We have to take initiatives of our own before others will try to take initiatives against us.
Israeli Labor Party leader Shimon Peres. Former Defense Minister Yitzhak.
All right, well, I'm very happy to say that we've just put out an announcement, a general announcement, that for the moment you can take off those gas masks that you're wearing and probably suffer again, but only take off the masks. Please stay in the rooms for the time being. However, at least we can all breathe a little easier and perhaps hold more sensible, polite conversations than talking through these things. Apart from that, no real news. Everyone's continuing to broadcast. I see as well TV now, kind of putting out the word on TV. Our broadcast studios full of people talking. Whitby is former military army spokesman, RAF army spokesman, currently the head of the army radio station. Brigadier Ephraim Lapid, how would you describe the situation at the moment?
Well, we've lost contact with Tel Aviv momentarily. Former Defense Minister Yitzhak Rabin says the world owes deep appreciation to President Bush and the American Armed Forces. They freed many, including, among others, Israel as well. At the same time, Israeli warplanes and missiles have survived the airstrike. The former Defense Minister, with Chief of Staff during the Six-Day War, said the American air operations will be taught as a lesson in the annals of military history. Earlier today, Israeli strategic analyst Dr. Gerald Steinberg said there's reason to believe the next round of American aerial attacks against Iraq might target Iraqi mobile missiles. The mobile missiles are thought to be one of the remaining Iraqi threats against Israel, which they have proven to be. Reporter Danny Gurarie asked Dr. Steinberg how these missiles differed from those which American planes took out this morning.
Basically, the missile is the same, but the launcher requires more time to set up. The fact that it's mobile means that it's even less accurate than the Alabasa same missiles that were in the bases that were destroyed. In other words, the missiles in the bases had a an accuracy of only up to a few kilometers, the mobile missiles will probably have misses of tens of kilometers, especially if the Iraqis have to set them up and fire them in a state of hypertension and with the possibility of imminent air attack.
Can we assume that these mobile missiles will be the target of the next American-led attacks?
The United States made it very clear that it placed extremely high priority on removing any threat to Israel so that Israel would stay out of this war. And with every reason to believe that having done that during the first and most dangerous night of the war, the U.S. will continue to put these on high priority if they're seen, if the operators are seen poking their heads above ground, if the missiles are seen being ready for launch. I would expect and certainly hope that the United States would destroy them very quickly.
The PLO today urged Palestinians and other Arabs to resist what it called American aggression against Iraq. Its executive committee meeting in Tunis called on Arabs, Muslims, and so-called peaceful forces to go to war. Earlier, the PLO accused Americans, Zionists, and Europeans of being allied against Iraq and the Arab nation. Over in Judea, Samaria, and the Gaza Strip today, the areas were reported quiet. All the territories have been placed under curfew. The mood of the Palestinian community contrasts sharply with the mood in Israel. Mark Weiss reports.
The curfew in force on the Gaza Strip and widespread areas in Judea and Samaria was extended throughout the territories when war broke out in the Gulf. Army loudspeakers announced that residents breaking the curfew would be risking their lives. The army spokesman reports no incidents of unrest so far today in the territories. There were isolated clashes in Arab areas of Jerusalem. Five border policemen were likely injured during unrest in Atur. Five rioters, including three women, were arrested. Curfews were placed on Silwan and the Shuafat refugee camp after clashes this morning, during which some of the rioters wore gas masks. Both Jerusalem police and a spokesman for the U.S. consulate in East Jerusalem deny rumors that shots were fired at the consulate building this morning. In contrast to the relief and happiness felt throughout Israel, Palestinians I spoke to this morning expressed disappointment at the developments in the Gulf. Hanna Signora from the Al-Fajr newspaper.
Well, the mood in the occupied territories today is of disbelief. A mood that the war is already upon us. They have listened to the developments and they saw the feverish work of many Arab quarters prevent the war. But finally the war came.
Mr. Signora, do you see the developments in the Gulf as a setback to the Palestinian people?
I believe the development is a setback to the world community at large because it could not prevent the war. It's going to be a setback to the environment of the region because already we see how much damage has been done.
Hanna Signora, and this is Mark Weiss reporting.
And now announcement for listeners in Israel. Announcement for listeners in Israel. They may now remove their gas masks. You may now remove your gas masks, but remain in the sealed protective room. Do not leave your sealed protective rooms. Continue listening to the radio, but you may remove your gas masks. Earlier today, one of Israel's top experts on Arab terror counseled Americans to hit the headquarters of the Palestinian organizations in Iraq. Professor Aryeh Merari of Tel Aviv University was talking to Alan Ben-Ami.
I do think that if Saddam feels that he's cornered, and he surely will feel that very soon if he doesn't feel that way right now, he'll try to pull every card he has from his sleeve. And the terrorist threat is one of these cards. Now, the question is, to what extent can these terrorists cause real damage? They can cause some damage, but the damage is limited, rather limited. I mean, we shouldn't really expect a very broad wave, widespread wave of suicidal terrorist attacks all over Western Europe. Nothing like that.
Now, again, the announcement. Listeners in Israel may remove their gas masks. Listeners in Israel may remove their gas masks, but remain in the specially prepared room. This... We'll be back on the air to listeners in English. We'll be back on the air to listeners in Israel and overseas in approximately 35 minutes' time at 4 o'clock local Israel time, 02 hours UTC. And again, the main story of the evening, Israel has experienced a missile attack. Israelis, following an air raid alert, have retired to their specially prepared defensive rooms, but they may now remove their gas masks but remain in the room. Mishael Dar, Shalom from Jerusalem.
Israel Radio, Kol Yisrael, broadcasting from Jerusalem. We are on the air to North America at 0, 1 and 2 hours UTC on 11605, 9435 and 7465 kilohertz. And at 5 hours UTC on the same frequencies. For a program schedule, please write to External Service, Israel Radio, Jerusalem, Israel. Laila Tov, good night, and shalom from Jerusalem.